Tonight, God's word comes to us from Psalm 29. Psalm 29, we'll be reading all 11 verses of this psalm. Psalm 29, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this past week, I imagine you, as I did, watched the television and saw the powers of God in creation. The power of Santa Ana winds of epic proportion. And it's easy for us to see those natural powers and become concerned and become afraid and become worried. Tonight we remind ourselves that as powerful as nature may seem, our God sits enthroned over the powers of nature. Our God is enthroned over the winds. Our God is enthroned as king forever. Tonight we're going to look at this beautiful psalm, Psalm 29. A psalm that gives us great hope and great comfort. That no matter what happens, God is still in control. In Psalm 29, David uses pictures from creation to give us a glimpse of the glory of God. We know that God reveals himself in creation. It is a revelation of who he is, of his majesty and of his glory. And David will highlight that in Psalm 29. At the heart of this psalm is the phrase, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, a reference to the power of God himself over all things in this world. The psalm starts in heaven. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The angels in heaven are called to ascribe glory to God. Now think about that. Angels themselves are glorious beings. Angels themselves have a majesty about them. We think back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve leave, and there is an angel with a fiery sword. There is a presence there to keep them from entering once again. When Joshua is preparing to lead the people into the promised land, in Joshua chapter 5, he confronts the commander of the Lord's army, this glorious, majestic angel, who says to him, "Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." The majesty of the angels. We think of Jesus' birth as that angel came to announce the birth to the shepherds, and then suddenly a great company, a whole host, an army of angels appear to the shepherds. Angels themselves are glorious beings, and they are called to ascribe glory to God. As glorious as these beings may be, they are nothing compared to Him. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. God is the one who receives all the glory, even from these other glorious creatures. They pale in comparison to Him. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. These creatures, glorious and majestic, worship God. They bow down before Him. Our minds go to the images given to us in Isaiah chapter 6. We get this picture of the throne room of heaven. And there are those angels, the seraphim there. And they call out, "Holy, holy, holy." They worship God. And with two of their wings, they cover their faces. He is too majestic. He is too glorious. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. This call to recognize God begins in heaven itself. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And then the praise moves from heaven down to earth. And we see the glory of the Lord in creation. Verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. He is the God who manifests Himself over the waters. And David here so beautifully is going to use an image that was very familiar to the Israelite people to describe the glory of God. Like a storm coming in. And oftentimes the storms in Israel would start over the Mediterranean Sea. They could see the storm on the waters. They could see the clouds beginning to gather, the thunderheads coming together and the lightnings flashing. They could see and they could hear it was coming. The voice of the Lord over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Like that storm still far away, they could see it coming. The storm begins over the waters and then makes landfall. Verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. And again, David so beautifully uses the geography of Israel to make his point about the glory of the voice of the Lord. That storm comes off the water and enters in Lebanon, in the north part of the land. And in Lebanon, the Lord there in the north breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon were for the Israelites a picture of permanence, a picture of security. To say something was like the cedars of Lebanon, it was going to be there forever. I don't know if we use this phrase anymore. I'm probably dating myself by doing this. But I recall the phrase, it's as secure like the gates of Fort Knox. Like the gates of Fort Knox. Secure. No one can get in. It's permanent. It's someplace safe. And the Lord, the Lord is more powerful than even the strongest thing they can imagine. When they thought of the cedars of Lebanon, nothing could challenge the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. More powerful than the most permanent, secure thing they could imagine. And then David goes on, verse 6. He makes Lebanon in the north to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. Well, we talked about Lebanon being in the north of the land. What is Sirion? Sirion is one of the mountains on which the cedars of Lebanon grew. David is painting the picture here. These cedars, which are permanent, which are secure, even the land that they grow on is nothing compared to the glory of the Lord. He makes that mountain skip, shake like a young wild ox. And perhaps that's an image we can live into very well as those who live in Southern California, as those who have experienced the shaking of the earth. Remember the first time I experienced an earthquake, we've lived here three times now, so it was the first time we lived here. It's an awe-inspiring feeling when even the earth beneath you, which you think is permanent, begins to move and shake and roll. And I still remember years ago that first earthquake and the sense of awe at the power. And God is more powerful than that. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. This power of the Lord, first seen over the Mediterranean, far off, the storm coming. It comes on the land in the north. It shows its power and majesty over the cedars of Lebanon and the land on which they grow. And then the storm moves south through the land. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. That was down in the south. This revelation of the power of God has manifest itself throughout the land. The flashes of the Lord, the flashes of lightning that come forth from the power of God. And we've seen that image before in the image of God on Mount Sinai. That mountain that would shake and over the top have those thunderous clouds and the lightnings. And the people were afraid. The glory was too great. That's the picture given to us here. The glory of God, the lightning flashes. The lightning flashes which are destructive and yet also so beautiful. The beauty of the lightning, and I miss the lightning storms in the Midwest. It's the only thing I miss from the Midwest. I miss the lightning storms. The power, the majesty of God portrayed all around you, and you walk out at night, and the lightning just lights up the sky, crinkles of lightning everywhere. A reminder of the glory and majesty of God. I remember this was years and years ago when I was doing my pastoral internship in Indiana. We lived in Highland, Indiana. And Highland was known for having a very good 4th of July fireworks show. People would come to Highland to watch the fireworks in Highland. We were there over the summer, and I remember being invited to some friend's house to sit with them and watch the fireworks of Highland, this great, great show. And we were sitting in the backyard, and while waiting for this fireworks show to begin, we could see off in the distance thunderheads beginning to form and the lightning starting to flash, and that storm moving toward us. And I remember just being amazed at the power and majesty of God. And then the local fireworks show began, and it was nothing compared to the glory of God in creation. This is the power, this is the majesty of our God. Nothing on earth, nothing man can build compares with the glory of God. This storm comes in off the Mediterranean. It enters the land up in the north in Lebanon. It makes its way through the wilderness down to Kadesh everywhere, which is why verse 9 says, it strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. Glory because of the majesty of God, because of the glory of God, because of the grandeur of God. They have seen it manifest in nature itself, seen it manifest in creation throughout the land. Pictures of the power and the majesty of God displayed in what he has made. Oh, it's a psalm that is beautiful and elevates our minds to get a glimpse of the glory of our God. And it's not until we get to the end, the last two verses, that this psalm about God's glory and his majesty over creation, this psalm now becomes personal. It now becomes personal. Verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This glorious God, this majestic God, this overwhelming God is the God who cares for his people. He is the God who cares for us. Verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. This is not just a reference to floods that would take place. This is a reference to the flood. The flood of Noah, the floodgates of heaven being opened. And the power and majesty in God's judgment during that time. And yet the Lord sits enthroned over this great cosmic event. God sent the flood to judge those who would not acknowledge him as the one who's enthroned as king. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. In the ancient Near East, the waters were a picture of chaos and of challenge to authority. It was from the waters that the monsters came and the evil came, and the Lord sits enthroned even over that. He is enthroned as king. He is enthroned over the most powerful force they could imagine, even the tumult of the waters. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The flood did speak of judgment. Judgment upon those who would not acknowledge the king. But the flood also spoke of blessing to Noah and his family. Blessing to God's people. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. That's where we end the psalm, with the peace and blessing from God himself to his people, those with whom he has a relationship, those with whom he is in covenant, a covenant that warned of judgment if they failed to obey and blessing if they would. A covenant mediated through Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who comes to give peace to his people. The Lord enthroned in heaven. Children, who is enthroned in heaven? Who is the Prince of Peace? Who is the voice of the Lord? All these references to Jesus Christ himself. The psalmist, while using creation, points us beyond creation. He points us to the true King enthroned. Jesus Christ being enthroned in heaven. Jesus Christ, the one whose glory is equal to the Father. He began in heaven, eternally with the Father in heaven. As the angels gave praise in heaven, Jesus Christ is in heaven. And yet willing to come down to earth and seen afar off as the storm was. Seen in the words of the prophets. Seen in the ceremonies of the Old Testament. Seen in the signs that were done. And in God's perfect providence and time, he came to the land. The glory of the Son of God dwelling in the midst of his people. He is the one who gives strength. He is the one who blesses with peace. And this psalm points us from creation to the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a psalm of comfort, for he is right now sitting on his throne. He is right now ruling and reigning over creation. He is ruling over the storm. He is ruling over the flood. He is ruling over all things. And when the challenges and the storms of life come our way, we can turn to him, knowing that nothing is happening out of his control or out of our God's perfect will and plan for us. Jesus enthroned in heaven. Do you know that King enthroned over the storms? Do you know that King whose voice powerful enough to break the cedars of Lebanon and shake the mountains, the one who is enthroned in heaven, powerful enough to take the full weight and wrath of God against our sins, bear that for us on the cross, that we might know life and strength and peace with God. Jesus Christ, the one who calls us tonight to put our faith and trust in him. Not a weak Savior, but one who is enthroned. Enthroned over the flood, the Lord sits enthroned as King forever. It's a beautiful psalm that uses the picture of creation to give us a glimpse of the glory of our God. The one who even now is ruling and reigning. The one in whom we have our comfort and our hope. Jesus Christ, the voice of the Lord, the Word of God himself. Jesus Christ, our King. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for all of your Word. For the Psalms that speak not only of the things we see around us, but the Psalms which direct our attention to the King, our King, King Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we find our hope and our comfort and our refuge in Him. If in this coming week we face trials, we face concerns, remind us, O God, He sits enthroned over the chaos. He is enthroned over the floods. He is the one who brings peace and strength to His people. Lord God, use Your word tonight to encourage us in the week to come and throughout our lives. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.